Good day to you, and welcome to the podcast for the Union Street Meeting House. In this podcast, we will be sharing messages from our weekly worship services. Union Street Meeting House is a Christian ministry that introduces people of all ages to Jesus Christ and recalls those who once knew him back into an intimate, vibrant, living relationship with him. We are a house for Christian fellowship and personal growth. You are always welcome here at Union Street Meeting House. Let's go into this week's message right now.
Amen. Open your Bibles this morning to Luke 18. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. Had a wonderful time at the Orchard last night, and we've been studying Ephesians. We're going to talk about that a little bit as we go through today, but Pastor Carl was really blessing us last night with some truth. It's amazing. And want to continue to pray for Pastor Bill and his journey here as he goes through. Some of you may not know, but he had cancer, prostate, and he's working through that. And they're already starting to beat you up, ain't they? Yeah. But he'll fight the good fight, I'll assure you. Amen. All right, Luke 18. We're starting in verse 9 through 17. And he also, this is Jesus, also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. I want to stop there. I normally don't want to, but this just hit my heart. This week earlier, I was talking with a fellow colleague of mine, and you know, we can, if we're not careful, we can be what we can be Pharisaical. We can sometimes have a doctrine of certainty. In other words, that we believe so much that what we believe is true that we can't be open to God working and growing us. And we talked about last night that we are to grow to the perfection of Christ, the man of measure of man in Christ, into Christ. But we have to be cautious that we think we've got it all together because we're saved or we're in church or we do church things, and maybe those who don't, and then other churches that don't. And even to some churches they make almost a doctrine of their certainty. And that's a bad place for us to be. We have to have an open spirit to what God is going to tell us and teach us. If you had all that you knew at your salvation, when you had your conversion, then there wouldn't be any scripture that says you must work out your salvation or your sanctification. And we work that out. We have to be open. And Jesus is dealing with this in this passage. He also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men, he said, went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, the swindlers, the unjust, the adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes up to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. And they were bringing even their babies to him. I love this. We're bringing even their babies to him so that he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began rebuking them. But Jesus called for them, saying, permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. Suffer the little children and forbid them not. And let them come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says. Let's pray. Father God, we would pray this morning that we would be mature, that we would grow in your statutes, and that we would learn them, and that you would teach us, and through your Spirit, you would guide us into all truth, and that we would grow into being more Christ-like each day. But Lord, we also receive the message that we must come to you as a child, that our hearts must be open, willing to learn, willing to receive, and willing to trust and have that innocence, Lord, that you put in a child, Lord. We need that in our walk. So let us receive this morning from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to Matthew 19. And let me get caught up here. Turn to Matthew 19. And as you're turning there, I want you to be reminded that last week we talked about Bartimaeus receiving his sight. And we talked about how he was healed, that he called out to God. And Jesus said, "What do you want from me?" And he said, "Lord, I want to regain my sight." Had a specific need that he wanted God to do. And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And so we read that last week. This is all in that same passage because Jesus is approaching Jericho. Now, as he's approaching Jericho, keep in mind that he is on his way to Jerusalem, okay? Let's see. All that happened as Jesus was approaching Jericho. Now, as we move into chapter 19, we will see that Jesus has come into Jericho, and we get to hear about one of the stories of his passing through Jericho. So let's read Luke 19, 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable to because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass by. That's Jesus was about to pass by through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come into this house, because he too is a son of Abraham." And verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Now, before we look closer at this passage, I want to emphasize that we need to caution ourselves against just glazing over this kind of scripture that's familiar and that's even been turned into a children's Sunday school song. You guys remember? Who knows the song? Who wants to sing it? Okay, Jeffrey said he knows and wants to sing it. Raised his hand. Go ahead, Jeffrey. Amen. Well, I'm glad you were bold enough to do that. I have in my notes here, anybody want to sing this? And I was very doubtful that anyone would. But we have to be cautious because the familiar sometimes, and we have this in our relationships, when our family, when we're familiar, when we're at ease, when we're relaxed, we have a tendency sometimes to glaze over scripture because it's familiar or it has been turned into a children's Sunday school song and we think this isn't important or big, okay? So hear my heart this morning. I want you to be cautious about having that mindset as we approach this scripture, okay? All right, let's see why the doctor, Dr. Luke, saw it fit to write about the story. First, Luke says he entered Jericho. Jesus entered Jericho. Now, keep in mind, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for his triumphal entry, and he is making his way through Jericho. Now, Jericho is about 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem. Now, from what I've read and understand, I'm not a scholar on any of this, but the old Jericho, where Joshua was no longer. There was a new Jericho. And so you'll read in Matthew and Mark that Jesus had already come through Jericho. And the belief is he had went through the old Jericho and was entering the new Jericho. But it's about 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem. Jesus is making his way. Remember the Bible says that one of my favorite sayings is he set his face like flint toward Jerusalem. He's on a mission. And so he's getting near the end of his journey before he's going to the cross. And I feel like that This is important because Jesus wants to teach and preach all he can before he gets there so that, first of all, so that the believers may know, but those around may also know. And so in verse 2, a man called by the name of Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector and he was rich. So the chief tax collector was hated all the more because the chief tax collector usually had tax collectors working for him. It was very successful. In this case, he was Jewish and he was collecting taxes. He was probably well hated by the Jews for collecting these taxes for Rome. But he was good at what he did, and he was very successful. Verse 3, Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable to because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. Now, we talked about everything we seem to read here. Jesus is drawing a crowd. But I mentioned last week, said, doesn't it seem neat that everywhere he is, there's a crowd? But the Lord quickened me and said, Jesus also chased the crowd away a few times. So keep that in mind. But I believe this. I believe that in the old saying, if a church is on fire, people will come to see it burn. And what that simply means is if a church is alive and well and the Spirit of God is moving and the Holy Spirit is moving, then people will want to be a part of that. And wherever Jesus is, people will want to be a part of it. Now, we know that they'll hit the altar or the door when they're presented with Christ. It's just the reality of it all. But I think there's going to come a time in the revival of this land where there is a bright and burning fire and people have had enough of the foolishness of the world and will be called to Jesus. And that's what we need to be prepared for. That'd be a great place for an amen. But Zacchaeus was small in stature and the crowd was around him. And so in verse 4, he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. So he's a pretty bright guy. He sees what's going on. He knows where Jesus is going. He makes a decision that he's going to position himself. He's going to overcome the obstacle of the crowd or his circumstances. His circumstances are he's small. There's a crowd. He must figure out a way how he's going to get close to Christ. And he runs ahead and he gets up in a tree, calculating that Christ is going to be heading that way. You see the picture? He overcame the obstacle in his life. He didn't get to be the chief tax collector by being dumb, I'll assure you. In verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. We may never know, but if Zacchaeus doesn't get himself up in that tree, that maybe Jesus doesn't see him at all. We don't really know that. We don't know that for sure. You get the sense that Jesus has told this parable, and now here's this chief tax collector that's up in a tree, and Jesus is about to perform a work. And so we don't know. We don't know if Zacchaeus was standing 40 foot away that. He might know he's there and still call on him. We don't know that. But we know for sure that he sees him up the tree and he says, hurry up and come down here. I'm going to stay at your house. Wouldn't that be nice? Either way, I'm saying the place that Zacchaeus put himself into was a place where he could see Jesus and Jesus could see him. You see what I'm saying? My question this morning we're going to get to is, are you putting yourself in a place where you can see Jesus? Does it mean that you might have to overcome an obstacle to see where Jesus is? And are you putting yourself in a place where Jesus is going to see you? Verse 6, and he hurried and came down, and the Bible says he received him gladly. Zacchaeus received Christ gladly. Isn't that something that Jesus says, hurry up and get down? And Zacchaeus was being obedient to the instruction that the Lord gave him. He hurries up and gets down. Last night, Pastor Carl brought it up that there are many things that kind of get us to where we are growing and maturing Christ. And one of those has to be that we're able to receive instruction. How many of you know some people are better at that than others? But with the Lord, we have to have an open heart to receive instruction. Zacchaeus doesn't really know what's going to happen. He's run ahead. He's climbed up into a tree. And the Lord says, hurry up and come down. I'm going to your house. And he does just that. And when they saw it, verse 7, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be with a guest of a man who is a sinner. This is nothing new. We've seen it 1,000 times. Those who don't know Jesus are always critical of his way. That's the same in our world today. They have no idea who God is. They have no idea who Jesus is. But they're not short on telling us that they're no good. And then when we see God do something in a way that we don't think he should, we, if we aren't careful, can have a tendency to grumble about it or complain about it. And so we're really not much different. But we know that there's always going to be those who are critical against Christ. And they will be critical of us because if we are like him and he is in us, which is what we believe, then they're going to hate us, Christ said. And they're going to be critical of us. They're going to be critical of the church. All you want is money. All you want to do is preach against sexuality. I'll just leave it there. All you want to do is preach against lifestyle. The church is no good. They're critical of us because they're critical of Christ. So just settle it. Settle it and stop worrying about what everybody thinks of you and start being concerned with what the Lord thinks. I always say this. Remember what Leonard Ravenhill said. A man who is intimate with God will not be intimidated by man. Now, let's stop here for a moment before we move on, okay? So we see that Jesus coming through Jericho. He's on his journey. Zacchaeus runs ahead, gets up a tree. Jesus sees him, tells him, come down. We're going to your house today. Now, when you move on to verse 8, it doesn't really say anything about that. But here's what we believe happened. Jesus goes to his house. They gather. In fact, Jesus probably has one of the best meals he's had in a very long time because he's at a very wealthy man's house. And many of you have wealth, but many of you know someone who has more wealth than you. And when you get invited to their house and dinner, it's usually pretty nice. So I grew up poor. So when I was invited to someone's house who was very nice, I took notice. And usually the food was very good. And Jesus is dining and gathering at Zacchaeus' house. And no doubt his disciples are traveling with him because we know that Luke is because he's recording the story. And they're having dinner and they're having fellowship. Are you getting the picture? Okay? So this isn't, again, we have this tendency to read these verses and think this is this kind of journey. It's not that at all. I think 12 miles an hour is the fastest we can walk. And that's pretty much the speed of life is what's happening. And they've gone to Zacchaeus' house and they've sat down with him and he has opened up his home to them. And then at some point, when we look at verse 8, after Jesus has probably been teaching and maybe preaching or sharing, we don't know. But at some point, Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord. And at that moment, he recognized him as Lord. We talked about that a few weeks ago, that in our posture and in our position, are we going to recognize God for who he is? And he says, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back 4 times as much. And immediately we know this is a genuine conversion. And I'm going to tell you why in a moment. But immediately we know that Zacchaeus' life has been changed. Last night, Pastor Carl talked about conversion and that we are transferred and that we're of this world and we get transferred into the kingdom and that something happens. It's a conversion. He talked about how when he first went to Russia and had to learn the culture there. The culture was different. And I'm going to steal a little bit of his message. And one of the things he said is, in the United States, you take a banana and the stem part of the top is where you open it. Who does it that way? Does anyone open it from the bottom? Okay, you must be Russian. So in Russia, he was noticing they're all opening their bananas from the bottom. Okay? Small story, but what he's trying to say is that he has to learn the customs of where he's at. And he likened that to us as Christians, that there's a conversion and there's something that happens in the conversions that we're translated from the way we used to think into the way we now think or are going to think as we move forward and the way that we want to do things differently. Zacchaeus is changed because he immediately does things differently. He has been taking money for a very long time. He is quite wealthy from it. He's quite good at it. He is rich. And he says, oh, what have I done? He's transferred into the kingdom, and now he understands this is different. I'll give back half. I'll pay four times for those who I've cheated. I know, even in the addiction circles, when they get into recovery, one way that you know that true recovery has happened is they start to take responsibility for the things they have done. And they have an attempt to make that right. You can't fix it all. You can't go back. But there are some things we need to go back and take care of. And Zacchaeus is now doing that. Do you see this picture? And we don't know what Jesus said. We don't know what Jesus taught, but we know this. He spent some time with him. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. And the reason he specifically speaks that to Zacchaeus, because as a tax collector, the Jews shun him and claimed he wasn't a real Jew because of his occupation. I'm not here to attest to that one way or the other, but I love how Jesus confirms to him, you're okay, Zacchaeus. You're a Jew. You rest in me, and things will be fine. And he says to him, salvation has come to your house. So we know that this conversion with Zacchaeus is real, not just because he's giving half back or four times of who he's cheated. We know it because the Lord said so. May I say to you this morning that if you've had a salvation in your life, the Lord puts his stamp on that. The Holy Spirit is the seal of your salvation. He goes on to say, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Now, if you remember at the beginning of the service, we read the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. In fact, let's turn back there. It's not far. Luke 18 and 9 again. And I'd like to read this again. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. And two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Isn't that interesting? Jesus tells a parable just before he goes and does a miracle. You say, well, what is the miracle? Well, the miracle is conversion. The Pharisee stood and was praying to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes up to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus tells of the parable, and then he goes into Jericho, and he demonstrates it in living color. He just tells this story, and then it happens. Isn't that amazing? He always does what he says he will do. That's a word for you this morning. I want you to understand, Jesus always does what he says he will do. Now, what's all this mean to us? Well, as we look at Scripture, I'm always trying to get us to look deeper than just reading about an awesome story. I want you to see it from the vantage point of those in the story. Some time ago, there was a movie called Vantage Point. I don't know if any of you saw it, but it was a detective who went to a scene where there had been an attempted, or actually a bombing, and he began to interview people. And everyone there saw that same situation differently. And the movie plays that out. It does a great job of doing that. And it helps you understand, too, as you're watching it, that, you know, everything that I see and think may not be the full view of what's happening. And so when we look at Scripture, I'm asking you this morning, will you look at it with your mind open and see the different sides and what it might mean? I want you to see it from the vantage point of those in the story. Let's talk about it from Jesus' vantage point. Jesus has many missions, if you may, and he's bringing the kingdom at hand. One of the greatest of these missions is salvation for everyone. I talked about surety earlier, and I talked about even those who have a doctrine of certainty. And there are some churches, and that's okay. I'm open enough to say maybe they're right, although I do not think so at this point, that believe that there's an election and that only certain folks are saved and certain folks are not. We don't preach that from this pulpit. In fact, I think sometimes in their doctrine of certainty that becomes their God. Ed Gross, who does discipleship over at Crossroad, who was a devout and astute teacher of election, which would be called Calvinist, taught it for years, wrote books on it, etc. But he finally came to the conclusion that the issue that they have is they have basically what they do is they have the Father and the Son and the Holy Scriptures. And not the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we want to be open to the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not saying we accept anything new that comes under the sun, because I'm probably believing there's not going to be a lot of new. It might be a new way to do the same thing, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So hear me when I'm saying these things. But God has said he has come to seek and save the lost. There's no parentheses that says, and this only includes blah, blah, blah people. Okay? You with me? Still here? Some of you may not come back. It's okay. The Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. John 4:14 says this, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Matthew 1:21 says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on, say everyone. I'm just making sure you're awake there. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus sees Zacchaeus. He instructs him to come down out of that tree, and they go to Zacchaeus' house. And he gets intimate with Zacchaeus and probably shares a meal and has some time with Zacchaeus and probably his friends. And he's there for some time, and he wants an intimate relationship like that with us. The Bible doesn't specifically say what he did or even said. We only know that Zacchaeus spent time with Jesus, and that changed his life forever. There's a story of a Union Army officer by the name of Lew Wallace. And the Battle of Shiloh was one of the worst casualty battles of the Civil War. And at that time, communication wasn't great, and General Grant had sent for Lew Wallace to take his troops and join in the combat there to help out. The problem was the message never got to him in the morning. It got to him late in the day. And so he still followed the instructions, but then found he was behind the Confederate army. And by the time he had re-engaged and brought his army back around, the battle had concluded. And I can't remember how many deaths there were, but it was one of the bloodiest battles of the Civil War. And so Lew Wallace carried that for a very long time. The reason I'm telling you about Lew Wallace is that he was an atheist. And then he began to somewhat believe in God, but he was on a train ride with a famous atheist, and I can't remember his name. But that fellow has been going to universities. How about that? In the 1800s, in the 1860s, that fella and 70s, had been going to universities teaching about atheism. And he happened to be on the train ride with Lew Wallace that day, and he challenged Lew Wallace to say, "What is your belief?" And he said, "I believe in God." And when the gentleman began to ask him more about it, Lew Wallace found himself that he couldn't really defend himself, and he kind of was becoming an atheist himself. But the fellow challenged him, "Well, why don't you find out about this Jesus so that you can tell people how false he is?" And you know the rest of the story, because this has happened many times in history. Lew Wallace begins to read and learn about Christ and the Bible, even takes a trip to Jerusalem to see what it's all about. And today we know Lew Wallace by the movie called Ben-Hur. He wrote the book Ben-Hur and a few other Christian books and became a devout Christian. Just to kind of finish that story, at the end of the day, so to speak, Grant calls him forward and they review the battle and the war, and Grant gets his redemption back to Lew Wallace to say it wasn't your fault, but he still carried the guilt from that. The point of the matter is that Lew Wallace spent time with Jesus and he was converted. The point of the matter is Zacchaeus spent time with Jesus and he was converted. In the study in Ephesians, Pastor Carl has been teaching that we need to grow up in our faith to maturity. Ephesians 4:13 says this, "Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." Well, how do we do that? Well, we spend time with Jesus. We set aside time to pray, and we set aside time to read His Word. And even today, by coming to church, you're learning more about Jesus. Because if you never knew this before, which I think you probably all do, Jesus loved even the chief tax collector. He loved those in the culture that were unloved. He loved those that were even against His people, if you may. And he goes to the chief tax collector's house, and he goes there to the unloved and to those who are hated by their culture. And he goes to the lost, no matter what they are doing or what they have done, no matter who they are, whether they're rich or they're poor, Christ saves all. We also see the story of a man today that by the world standard was successful. He was rich. He had a great home. He had job security, had all those things that our world would contribute to be successful. But something must have been missing. Something must have been missing. If he was real comfortable with who he was and where he was, my belief is he would have been sitting in his house, eating his fancy food, drinking his fancy wine. But something draws him out, and he climbs up a tree. And isn't that amazing? Here's this little man that climbs up a tree. Here's this person who is wealthy and supposedly has everything he needs, and yet he climbs a tree. How must he have been humiliated for that? Being small in stature and trying to find a way to see Jesus, he climbs up a tree. And like a child, Zacchaeus climbed the sycamore tree. Zacchaeus postures himself, or he positions himself to see Jesus. And this is a lesson for us. My question this morning, are you positioning yourself above the crowd, above the noise, above all that's going on? I can tell you, I must confess that I struggle with work and the activities and the elections and the cares of the day. If I'm not careful, I begin to focus on the crowd and the noise and forget to climb the tree, to position myself. Then when the Lord speaks, he listens to him. Zacchaeus does exactly what the Lord says. Zacchaeus hurries and comes down. And I believe that's a word for everyone in church today also, is that I know that the Lord has probably spoken to you and you've not listened, and you've not done the simple thing of even hurry and come down. But Zacchaeus does. Part of his salvation is going to be contributed to the fact that he hurries down and he welcomes him. The Bible says he welcomes him gladly. And then when he does, he spends time with Jesus, and Zacchaeus is then moved to action. And his works follow his faith. He gives half of his possessions to the poor and makes right any wrong he has done. Now listen, I want to encourage you here too this morning. That's not for everyone. That's not a doctrine that we go and live by, except for the fact that when our life is changed, we listen to what God puts on our heart and we do that action. I'm not asking you all to give half of what you have to the poor, although it would probably be cool if we did. But I'm asking you to hear what God is telling you and to do that thing. Can I encourage you this morning to come to Christ like a child, to climb a tree if necessary, but whatever you do, come to him. Will you listen to his commands and be obedient to them? And when he tells you to move, will you move? When he tells you to turn right, will you turn right and meet the couple that you met? Will you decide that you're going to go paint the window frames at a church and make them look nice when they're almost rotten? Someone did this weekend. Well, if he tells you to buy tires for your neighbor's car, will you just do that? Will you do those things? Take them a meal when you know they're in trouble? Will you spend time with him? Will you gladly entertain Jesus in your home? Will you have supper with him? And lastly, will you let the change or the conversion of your life bring fruit? So as I close with that this morning, I just want to open the altar up and say that if there's anyone here today who hasn't had this wonderful conversion, would you be bold enough to come forward and say, God, I want to be changed like Zacchaeus. Do in me what you did in Zacchaeus. Change my heart. And if you are here today and you've already had this wonderful conversion, but you know it's time to recommit or rededicate your life, will you reposition yourself this morning and ask God to move in your life and be a demonstration that you're a candidate for more of what Christ has to offer? I'm not trying to invoke you into doing something you don't want to do, but if God's pressing on your heart and you're ready to really get serious about your walk, then I'm saying to you this morning that the altar is open. And so as I pray for our closing prayer this morning, I just want you to know that you're welcome to come forward. And if you want prayer, just linger and we will pray for you. If you want to dedicate your life to Christ this morning and you want to have real change in your life to where you can make a difference and be different, then come that way this morning as well. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word. I know, Lord, that I may have stumbled through part of it, but God, my heart is that we be like Zacchaeus, that we position ourselves, that we would see you and that you would see us. And Lord, that we would hear your call. And when we hear your call, we would be obedient like he hurried down out of the tree. And Lord, with that, we know that you'll spend time with us and we'll spend time with you, Lord. We desire an intimacy with you, God. We're going to need this as this culture moves forward in all the concerns it has, Lord. Father, this morning as we think about Zacchaeus and we even think about our own lives, Lord, would you help us to put ourselves in a position to cry out for more, that the Holy Spirit would fill us more and more and we would be so baptized in your Spirit, Lord God, that the fruit would just be immense in our lives, God. I pray that for me this morning, God. Pray that if there's anyone here, Lord God, that you want to touch this morning, that you would bring them forward, Lord, and we would anoint them with oil. We praise you and give you glory, and we thank you for all the things that you've done, Lord. Help our hearts, Lord, be washed this morning with the water of the word, Lord. We may be mature and we may grow. And Father, I'm asking that we have a sober mind, but not be so serious that we can't enjoy and have fun, that in the Lord that created us and that created us for that joy. But Lord, let us understand these are serious times, maybe not perilous, but certainly serious, and that the world needs to know a Jesus that Zacchaeus came to know. So Lord, just pray we have a great week as we go forward. Move on our hearts and our lives, Lord, and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you're dismissed this morning. Thank you for coming out. Hope to see you next Sunday. And if anyone wants prayer, please feel free to come forward. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. You know, we would love to invite you to come and visit us in person sometime if you're ever in our area. You can find us at 415 Union Street in Milton, Delaware, where we have prayer and worship services on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., Bible study on Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., and a Sunday morning worship service at 10:30 a.m. We would love to minister to your children as well. We offer children's church during the adult service. Children are excused to go back to their classes right after the worship time. You can also find more information about us on the web at unionstreetmeetinghouse.org or on Facebook at Union Street Meeting House. So we look forward to sharing the message with you next week. Hope you'll return to this podcast. Thank you so much, and God bless you.